Let's have a look together. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read from verse 11 about Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. It's a story about Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. Let's read together. And Father, we just pray for your blessing on your word this morning. You'd speak to our hearts. I've called this the power of being thankful, the power of thankfulness. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. They had a skin disease of some sort, and they were not part of the community. They were isolated them in those days. And they stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan, and Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. I'm not going to preach for too long. Our time is against us. But just to have a look at a few things here this morning from the story about the power of thankfulness, of thanksgiving, of gratitude as we come to a close in our service this morning. Just giving thanks to God for this year and all he's done for us. And also thanks for one another, because as we read the story this morning, I want you to see that being thankful, thankfulness is one of the major fruits of the gospel. When you understand that Jesus came from heaven, he lived on this earth, he lived a sinless life, he took our sin upon himself, he died upon the cross, and he rose again so that all who believe in him may have eternal life, new life. That's the gospel, that's the good news. When you believe that, when you see that and you begin to follow God, what really happens in your life, besides being changed on the inside and beginning a relationship with God, is that there's tremendous thankfulness that flows from your life. The gospel causes us to be so thankful. Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And that theme's been coming out again and again this morning. And so over the next 2 weeks, I just want to look at this whole subject together, because to live with an attitude of gratitude, is also a sign of spiritual health. It's good for you. It's important. And to be a person that can never give thanks. Maybe you've grown up in a home where there wasn't much thanksgiving or praise. And to be a person who struggles to do that often is a sign that all is not well with your soul. And so thanksgiving is so important to us. And so I just want to pick out a few things this morning from this passage about the cleansing of the leper. And I want you to see, first of all, that thanksgiving really is a gospel thing, as I've said already. The story is a picture of our lives. And if we can just open up the story a little bit this morning, it'll help us to see what God has done for us as well. Thanksgiving is a gospel thing because the Bible tells us that sin, wrongdoing, or slavery in our lives is really against God. It's like leprosy. It's like having leprosy. And it's something that affects us all. We're all affected by sin. We're all affected by wrongdoing. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's one thing that we all have in common. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. It affects all cultures. It affects all people. Here you've got a Samaritan connected with Jews. They were a little group together. Normally Samaritans and Jews didn't associate with each other. But their leprosy threw them together. And sin affects all of us, friends. Black and white. You get black and white, black folk have struggled, white folk struggle with it, young and old, male and female. We're all sinners, and we all come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us also that sin separates. It separates us spiritually from God. It causes alienation within us as well. We struggle with guilt and shame. Sin also causes societal problems around us as well. We become separated from one another in society. And also even the environment, it causes us to mess up the environment. And we've seen lately with the hurricanes and the flooding that's been taking place in the world, the way nature strikes back sometimes because of the damage to the environment as well. And so sin is like that. Sin separates as well. And before we became Christians, before we came to God, the Bible tells us that our sin has separated us from God because God is holy and He is good. And on the cross, Jesus didn't just pay for our sins. He didn't just take our sins upon Him on the cross, but He took the wrath of God. He took the anger of God against our sin. Jesus took upon the cross and He satisfied God's anger against sin. He became a sacrificial lamb upon the cross. Jesus took God's anger against sin because God is holy. And so if you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll see God's anger being poured out against sin, but you'll also see God's tremendous love upon the cross as Jesus died in our place. And so the cross speaks of God's anger against sin and His justice, and the cross also speaks of God's tremendous love. You see, either we had to die and pay for our sins, it was like leprosy, or else God had to die, and God took our place and He died upon the cross. But I want you to see also from this story, the good news is that they cried out. They realized they had leprosy and they cried out when they saw Jesus coming. They cried out to Him. And that is the first step in your recovery. The first step in finding God and finding a new life is to know two things. To know, one, I've got leprosy, I'm in trouble, and to cry out to God. And that's what they did. They lifted up their voices to God and they began to cry out to Him. And the Bible tells us that God heard them. Jesus heard them. See, God hears you when you cry out to Him, when you lift up your voice. He hears your cry. And He heard the cry of these lepers. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And He heard them. And He healed them. And He spoke a word of healing over them. God hears our cry. And He said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, in the Bible, the priests were like health inspectors. They were like primary health inspectors, and they would go and they would check them out and they checked their skin out. Maybe they took their shirts off. They looked at their backs. They checked their skin out and they said, okay, you're cleansed. You can go back into society. And the Bible tells us while they were on their way, while they were taking those steps of obedience, they were cleansed and they recovered. And it's wonderful. Jesus spoke the word of healing and then they obeyed Him. And that's what's so special about the gospel. You see, the gospel tells me that I'm accepted in Christ in order to be obedient. I don't need to obey in order to be accepted. I'm accepted and then I obey. All other religions in the world, you have to do things in order to please God. You have to go to the temple, you have to go to Mecca, or you have to fast, or you have to pray, you have to do stuff. Maybe God will accept me. But Christianity, when you realize you have leprosy, when you realize you have sin and you see Jesus, that He died for you, and you cry out, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. He accepts you from day one. Before you've done anything. That's the gospel. The gospel is completely different. Christianity is not another religion. It's something completely different. And He accepts them and He says, go. And as they go, they cleansed on the way. And friends, salvation and thanksgiving starts with realizing these things. We realize we were all part of the leprosy ward. We all had leprosy of the soul. And God has reached down and saved us in Christ. He's plucked us up. He's changed our lives. That's what all these testimonies and songs were about this morning. Everything except the woodcutter story. That's what it was about this morning. It was showing what God has done for us. And in Romans chapter 5, it says this, these wonderful verses talking about our salvation. In Romans chapter 5, it says this, from verse 8, it says this. But while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, although for a good person one might dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Before you did anything to merit His favor or His pleasure, Christ died for us. That's what the Bible says. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, put right with God, how much more will we be saved by Him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And folks, when you see the gospel, when you see what Jesus has done for you, it just makes you so thankful. It just makes you so thankful. You say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing my life. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive in Christ. And so the gospel, in its essence, is not something you do, but it's something that's been done for you. Jesus died in your place. And that makes you so thankful to God. And that's why we're singing and rejoicing this morning, because that's happened in our lives. It's wonderful. And so true thankfulness starts with the gospel. But secondly, true thankfulness is also a people thing. It's a people thing. It's about God and it's about people. And true thankfulness is not just about events or things that happen to us, but it's about people and it's about what God has done for us. And here in the story, we see that when the Samaritan was healed, he turned back and he came back to God and he gave him thanks. He didn't just carry on with his life like the other nine, back into society and finding jobs and perhaps wives and showing himself back to the community. No, he turned back and he went back to Jesus and he fell on his feet and he thanked him. He thanked him. You see, this man wasn't just outwardly cleansed, but he was inwardly saved. Something happened in him because there was a personal connection with Jesus. True thankfulness is about a personal connection with someone. He didn't just receive the healing, he saw the healer. He saw Jesus. And he turned back and he gave him thanks. And really, only one of the 10 came to salvation in the story. The rest were spiritually touched, but they didn't have a personal encounter with Jesus. The nine were spiritually touched, but relationally disconnected with the person of Jesus. And friends, the key to life is constant reconnection with Jesus and with others. That's the secret to life. It's so possible to live off things, but the true meaning of life is to be thankful to God and to others. We don't just need connections. We don't just need casual conversations. We need real connections with people. We don't just need random encounters. We need relationships. And this man turned back and he gave him thanks. That's what he did. He went back to Jesus and he gave him thanks. He said, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for what you've done for me. Hallelujah. And that's what the gospel's about. It's about real relationships. It's about a relationship with God and it's about a relationship with others. And you know what the good thing is about the gospel? It delivers you, listen carefully, it delivers you from being the hero in your own story. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus becomes the hero. It delivers you from being a legend in your own lunchtime. It shifts the center of gravity from me, I, myself, to Jesus. You begin to look to Him and you begin to live your life for Him. And you begin to be aware not only of what He's done for you, but you begin to be aware of others around you. You begin to be thankful to others. Often in the Bible, at the beginning of the letters in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Philemon, Paul starts his letters by thanking the congregation for the people that were there. He's thanking them. And so thankfulness is so important. It's a personal thing, like this man who turned back. And it's a spoken thing. People don't know you appreciate them until you tell them. That's very deep. But you need to actually go and tell people. It's a spoken thing. And so he falls at Jesus' feet in a loud voice. He says, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thankfulness, people need to hear from us specifically. We need to go to them and we need to thank them. We need to make a deliberate effort in life to turn around and to go back to people and to thank them for what they've done for us. We need to do it while it's still fresh and before we forget. Not be like the nine who just carried on with their lives. Just thinking about it's not enough. We need to go to people and we need to say, I want to thank you. And that's the purpose of this morning. To thank our wives. Shannon, thank you for being my wife. I want to thank these elders. I want to thank you as a church. I want to thank just one another. You guys have just been amazing. There's so much to be thankful for. You need to tell people we appreciate them. Don't let silence be the absence of criticism in your life. We have a preacher's evaluation with our elders on Tuesday morning, and we discuss how the preaching went, how the meeting went, and we always say to each other, let's start with the good things before the things we need to brush up on. And folk, we need to hear good things from one another. We need to be thankful to one another. Why should we wait until people are dead before we say the nicest things about them? Why should the biggest download of thankfulness come after I'm dead? Well, Craig was just an amazing leader and preacher. He was so handsome. You know, he was just amazing. Why don't you just say that now? Why don't you say that now? Thank you. Let's hear it now. We want to hear from one another now. Anyone can complain. Anyone can moan and groan. It takes no skill or maturity. It requires no faith. But to be thankful is something special. And I'm still learning to do that. Just to be thankful. He went back to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I just want to say thank you. And God expects that from us. Jesus said to him, where are the other nine? Where are the rest of them? Where's the rest of your gang? Was only one foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks? God expects that from us. There's power in our tongues. There's power in speaking life over one another. And friends, I would encourage you this morning as we draw to a close. I'm not going to preach for long as we go into this December Christmas period, as we call the silly season. As we take a break, let's use the opportunity to just thank one another. Let's use an opportunity in our homes and in our families just to say, I want to thank you for that. And let's be specific. Let's be specific in our thankfulness of one another. Let's learn from the story. Let's turn back to people. Let's not be so busy with our lives that we don't stop and turn back and say to people, I just want to come to you and I want to say thank you to you for this and this and this. It's made such a difference in my life. It's so important. And so as we draw to a close this morning, this Thanksgiving service, maybe you need to just pause this morning and you want to just give God thanks. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me this year. Lord, I want to thank you. I don't want to focus on what didn't happen. I don't want to focus on the whole. I want to look at the donut. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness to me. I want to thank you for your goodness to me. It's an attitude of faith. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. It's an attitude of a good heart. It's an attitude that opens you up for God to do more in your life. Maybe you need to turn back to some people this year. And you just need to say thank you to them this year. You've been a gift to me this year. Turn back to your spouse or your kids or your parents or your friends. Say, I just want to tell you, I just want to thank God for you. Turn to the church, your friends in the church or in the workplace and just say, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Hallelujah. It's so important, folks, to cultivate this kind of attitude. And Jesus commends this one leper. He draws him out and he says, this is good. This is a faith attitude. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Thankfulness really arises from the gospel. It really, really arises from a relationship with God. I mean, for the atheist, who do you thank when you see a beautiful sunset? It must be difficult. And true thankfulness, really, we really need to give that to God because all good things come from God, really. They really do. Whether you're a Christian or not, they come from God. Your health, your home, your family, all that you have, it comes from God. The Bible tells us every good thing comes from God. Everything comes from God. And we need to, it begins with thanking Him, but it also is an awareness of others in our lives. Just saying, I want to thank God for you and you and you and for what you've done for me. What you meant for me. And sometimes it's a spoken thing. Sometimes it can be in other ways. We can just be creative in our thanksgiving as we just bless others and we become a thankful people. And so in the new covenant, thankfulness is a key inner attitude from which healthy outward obedience can flow. It's easier to live life when you're thankful than when you're miserable. How many of you have learned that? It gets a bit more tough when you're grumpy and miserable. I sometimes don't read the Sunday papers. I like reading them, but I don't always read them because sometimes they don't help me go into the week. And it doesn't mean that we're hiding our heads in the sand, but we must watch what's going on inside us. Because so much out there can make you miserable and discontented. And so much problems arise from discontent and being miserable. And so I would encourage you this morning. Thankfulness is a gospel thing. Thankfulness is also a people thing. It involves people. And perhaps there are people this December you need to turn back to. You need to phone. You need to connect with. You just say, I just want to phone you to say thank you. The person says, yeah, and anything else? No. I just want to say thank you. I just want to thank you for being my friend, or for being there for me, for praying for me, for supporting me. Just thank one another. It's so good for us. It honors God, and it opens the way for God to do fresh things in your life. And so I say to you this morning as a congregation, thank you for this year and all God's done through us. Let's stand and give him glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Perhaps where you are, do you just want to again just say thank you, Lord? Just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for things I take for granted. Thank you even for the food I eat, Lord. Thank you for the people you've put in my life. Thank you for where you've placed me. Thank you for the job I have. Thank you for family and friends. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning I'm not in some ICU ward, Lord. Thank you that I'm not ill, Lord. Thank you that I can be here this morning. Thank you for so many things you do that I just take for granted. Lord, we just say thank you. And we worship you this morning. You're so good to us, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be more thankful. Help me to keep turning around and taking note of what happens in my daily life. And just giving thanks. In the season of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We just worship you, Lord. We give you thanks. And maybe this morning you've been a visitor, or you've been attending here, and you think, well, I really don't know Jesus. And I want to come to know him this morning. I don't really know who to give thanks to when good things happen to me. Well, he's here this morning. And as you've heard already, he died while we were yet sinners to draw you back to God. And I encourage you just to come and talk to me afterwards. Love to pray with you. I'd love to just point you to Jesus, that you can begin a walk with him as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.